This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He's Walter Jones and he's next.
And now, from the legendary Studio B, so you're in Seattle with Gregor.
The guy only got called for holding nine times in like 180 games as all as a Seahawk. That's crazy. Sorry, I'm still blown away by this random Wikipedia stat. Walter Jones is a Hall of Fame football player that played his entire career in Seattle for the Seahawks. And he still calls this joint home. He's a great guy out in the community, staying active. Plus, you see him trying to do a new kind of side profession. What I never thought about is how seriously he would take everything in his life if you have the intensity and the focus to be able to make it to that level in the NFL. There's a big charity event called A Touch of Football for the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation, and he's a big part of it, and we'll talk to him a little bit about that as well. Let's go! So it's tough to not overdo it when someone so kind and humble comes in, but it's the tales we tell of the times past that propel the future in the right direction. Walter Jones played an entire career in Seattle as a Seahawk with skills and hustle so strong he's enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Such an important part of our sporting culture that he joins only two others in history to have his number retired by the organization. But legacy, of course, is a lifetime, and so Walter is taking his time today to talk to us about a huge community event. It's called A Touch of Football, benefiting the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation, just one of the awesome charitable things that you'll see him at around Seattle. Good morning to you, Walt.
Good morning, man. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in, dude. We really appreciate it. How the heck are you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm enjoying the weather, getting ready for the season, man. I think everybody is getting ready for the season, and we're looking forward to seeing what these guys are going to do this year.
How long you lived here now?
22 years.
All right, so you're used to what we got here, right?
Yeah, I'm officially Washingtonian. I'm here now officially. My kids are here, so I call Seattle my home.
That's good, man. Yep. Over the weekend, the news broke that Andrew Luck is stepping away because he's tired of that rehab grind. You're a guy who dealt with that at the end of your career. What do you think about that?
You know, those are tough decisions, I think, for him. I think he's the only person who can make that decision, know his body. And I think in this game, you have to feel your body and know what your body can do. And you know what the team expect of you. You know what the fans. So if you're not able to do that 100%, you know, you can't go out there and play this game. So for him, I send my prayers out to him, and hopefully that he's happy and content, and hopefully he finds what he's looking for. So I feel for it, but those are tough decisions to make in this game.
Can't imagine with that whole crowd and everything having to do that. Way to step up big time, though, and own it. That's crazy.
Exactly.
So, like, what are the opportunities like for a guy once he steps away from that? Specifically, I see you occasionally on the sidelines in a Sounders match taking some photos or whatever. Like, how do you transition to that next thing?
I think you just got to, with him being so young, or when you finally I have to just speak on me how I handled it. I just wanted to get away from it, just kind of feel my way, with my kids and my family, because they've been around there for so long, and then all of a sudden now you're not doing it. So sometimes they feel like they are a part of it, but that decision, it had to be something that he had to make on his own, what I had to make on my own. So, I just kind of, took some couple of years to kind of enjoy the moment that I'm done with football, and that can be tough. But you have meet some great people in the community, so now you start kind of showing people that you're still here in Seattle and you want to be a part of the community. So that's when I started doing photos for the Sounders, and then you start doing community work and meet people. You get a chance to work with Mike McCready, a Pearl Jam, and to get a chance to meet those guys and talk to those guys and see that those guys are normal just like you, and they have a great following. So to call those guys friends is pretty cool.
That is a couple Hall of Famers hanging out together. Not bad, man.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty cool.
Why photography? Why'd you do that?
I enjoyed it. You know, when I was when my kids was born, you know, I did it a lot when I, you know, just randomly taking pictures. You know, at that time, you're just picking up a camera, taking pictures. And I got a chance to get out on the field at the Sounders with Jose Marino to get my feet wet and kind of see the game from a different standpoint. You know, for me being playing the game at any sport, you know, you get a chance to be on the sideline and you in the game, but to be at that moment where you're trying to watch the game from a point of trying to give it back to the fans to see a shot that they might not see while they're watching the game. So for me, that has been pretty fun to just watch the game. And for me, with the Sounders, I watched the game. I kind of, you know, followed it by just what people say. Never just, you know, I just didn't understand it. But from a standpoint of taking pictures, now I understand the game and see the setups and see how guys are playing the game. And to get a chance to meet those guys, to see that those guys still, you know, sometimes everybody have their different cliques, the football team, the basketball team. But to get a chance to meet those guys is pretty cool because they're working hard and trying to be the best at what they're doing. So that's pretty cool to see that side.
It's got to be all right to have people hooting and hollering at you from the stands too.
it's tough. You know, I haven't, you know, people ask me all the time, like, are you going to do a football game? I say, yeah, but I say it's hard because, you know, they don't see the fact that you're working, you're trying to perfect something. And you don't want to be rude to the fans either, though. So they see you. They don't get a chance to see you that much on the sideline. So it's pretty cool to do a Sounders game because you might get one or two handshakes or pictures taken. But I would think that if I was to do a football game, I have to probably do a away game. So now you don't have that, you know, that fan just seeing you on the sideline.
Even then, those 12s travel, man.
They travel pretty good. But still, again, you can kind of control that because now you say, okay, I'm just going to stay on this side, you know, on the visitor side. But, you know, it's pretty fun to just to be out in the city and getting a chance to see the fans.
God, I can only imagine a guy that put in that kind of focus into becoming what you became. I never thought about how you would do the same thing with photography or whatever else in your life. Can you switch off that intensity?
Oh, you can. I think the thing about it, you're learning. I think the cool thing about the photography thing is that when you come into that situation, a lot of guys have been doing it for a long time. They're established, and the first thing you want to let them know, you're not here to take anybody's job. I'm just here to learn and kind of, you know, if an opportunity presents itself for me, it does. But I'm just me personally just learning the camera. I think the thing about it, like you say, when I was younger with my kids, I would just pick up the camera and shoot. But now I'm learning the camera, you know, still trying to learn how to edit, and my editing is not good. So I tell people all the time, I say, like, you see all these pictures and you don't understand, you don't see the rough copy and see what they had to do to make that picture look good as it looks in a frame. So that's something that I'm still trying to learn and figure out. But I think the process is what keeps you motivated and kind of trying to figure out, you know, if you really love this and you really can, you put the work in to do it.
You ever get lens envy? I see those guys on the sides with the giant lenses. It's crazy.
You know, I haven't. You know, I have been, you know, the cool thing about it, I've had friends that lend me their camera because everybody said that the cameras are hard. That, you know, you don't want to spend a lot of money on a camera that you don't like. Or, you know, so, you know, for me, I have had the opportunity to have guys that would just hand me their camera and, like, you know, these are what $1,200, what the $3,000 cameras, and they'll let you take these cameras out and have fun with it. So it's pretty cool. And, you know, and you know, Jose always tell me not to take as many pictures. And you talk to some of the guys that have been shooting forever, they just continue to keep shooting. Like, so it's still you trying to learn. I think as you go along, you know, when you first start, you shoot so many shots and then, you know, you get killed about it. Like, you shoot too many shots and then now you're trying to figure, okay, I know what I'm looking for now. So now you can kind of take it easy. But still, and again, you just watch guys and see how they do it. And you try, hope you can pick up some from it. Because everybody, you know, they have so many photographers on the sideline that everybody shoot different. So, you know, you try to just take everybody kind of input and, you know, everybody respect you. And I think they be excited that I'm on the sideline. I'm like, I'm excited I'm on the sideline.
Oh, hell yeah.
So they excited just to be like me, to be in that. You know, everybody have their own little, you know, their little clique of camera guys. And so I try to make friends with all of them. I don't try to treat one no different than the other one. I just enjoy the fact that I'm on the sideline with them too.
I actually have Jose here. Jose, how long until he's taking better pictures than you?
Well, he's a lot taller than me, so he has better angles on everything. He does a really good job, and I think the reality is that he just enjoys being out there because, you know, he's an athlete, and I think pretty soon he'll just go alone, and, yeah, we'll just see him on the sidelines at things. by himself.
At the Olympics or something like that, taking like the world's photos.
That would be pretty cool though, wouldn't it?
That's awesome. A Touch of Football is 24 teams playing on the same field as the Seattle Seahawks, and in this case, with a former Seattle Seahawk. How'd you link up with the event?
Just get a chance. Like I came to the tournament 1 year. They had the year, and I just came out just to show up. And I had met Mike McCready a couple of times, met a couple of guys. So they asked me to come out there, and then the next year I decided to let me be a part of this. So I got a couple of celebrities in the town, a lot of the news people, everybody. Just get a chance to meet everybody here, the personalities here in Seattle. So you put those guys together on a team, so you get a chance to meet those guys. Then you get a chance to meet everybody else that's putting forth their time and effort for the flag football. So for me to be a part of it is pretty cool.
Like we said before, you and another Hall of Famer of a different sort, Mike McCready, could potentially share the same field. Have you had a chance to link up and throw the ball with him at all?
I think last year I threw the ball with him a little bit, you know, so he's a different, like, you know, that's a, you know, you're still trying to figure out that rock stuff, like that rock star life, you know, everybody, you know, does it different, but still, again, to be able to have a conversation, you know, to be able to be right beside him and to, you know, and then to see these guys perform, to say, like, I know that guy personally, I can have a conversation. That's pretty cool. So I'd be trying my best not to fanboy, because a lot of my friends, when I take pictures with them, they'd be excited and like, what do y'all do? What do y'all talk about? I'm like, they just like you. They just have a conversation. So it's pretty cool to be able to say that.
For the record, we stole somebody's ball last year, and Walter signed in and gave it to Mike. We don't know whose ball we took. So if you're missing a ball from last year, Mike McCready has it. So we feel kind of bad about that. So we'll bring another ball to replace it. Yeah. But yeah, if you're missing a ball, please contact Jen White, and we'll get that back to you.
Just tweet it, Walt. That's a
thing. All right.
There's so much that happens at the 6th annual A Touch of Football flag football tournament, CenturyLink Field. It's the day before the Seahawks home opener, so you have the chance to see people running around on the field the day before the pros do it. But I like the stuff that goes along with it. For the kids, the 40-yard dash and end zone dance competition. What's your 40 time look like these days?
Oh, so low, very slow.
I know you play it on the line, but you got a dance ready to celebrate with the kids?
Always dancing, man. That's what we do, we dance. So yeah, I would definitely be ready to dance.
Something from Fortnite or...
I don't even play Fortnite. I don't know what's going on in Fortnite. I have to ask my kids about that stuff, but, you know, I have to take it back to probably some shuffle or something that, you know, something, you know, as Lima's, what we want to do as celebration is we always want to pound the football down, you know what I'm saying? We always want to do that. So anytime you get a chance, your guys score, that's what we do as Lima. So
that's awesome. I've actually taken a couple kicks with Jose through the uprights there at CenturyLink Field. You ever given a boot?
No, I can't do it. You know, he's pretty good at it. You know, he lived for it, and that's what, you know.
I mean, I can't do it either, but I did it.
I know, right? No.
I owe a football player $50 because I missed a field goal, so let's not talk about that right now.
I want to know which one. Off air. We'll spare you there for that. Also, there's going to be pregame yoga. Big Walt, we're going to see you doing yoga to get limbered up.
Oh, man. I might have to, though, now. You know, at my age now, I might have to start get a little loose for the game. So I told myself, man, I don't know if I play as much as I did, but you get out there, you say, well, I'm going to just play a couple of, then you get competitive, and now you're playing like four games, and you can't even walk after you're done, because as soon as you get out there, the competitive juices get going, and you start having fun.
Speaking of not being able to walk, Greg, shall we talk about how you got injured? What was it? Like 10 minutes before the start of the tournament last year?
Yeah. I pulled up with a groin injury, and then I haven't been back since.
Literally, our tallest person on the team decided to get hurt.
The year before, I went up. Like, I'm not coordinated like that, but I went up and, like, miracle catch to score the one touchdown our team got compared to the seven that the other team
had. We won two games last year.
Oh, so you're welcome.
I think this year the goal is to win one. Because you always have a regression period.
So people could come out and hang out with us at this. And a $5 donation would be awesome. It's September 7th, all day long, CenturyLink Field. The yoga on the field starts at 8 a.m. to get people stretched out and ready to go. Hundreds of spectators and hundreds of 24 teams of players. That's a lot of folks out there. So come out, take part in it, see some people that you maybe grew up watching, like Walt, who's going to be down there. All the details at ccfootball.org. That's ccfootball.org. Jose and Walter, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to So You're in Seattle with Gregor. Follow him on Twitter at HeyGregor. Find more episodes online at SoYou'reInSeattle.com. So You're in Seattle is a Burrito Butt production.
Yeah, you're a good dog, Chowder.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.